The El Paso Children's Museum and Science Center is partnering up with grassroots not-for-profit Fab Lab El Paso, which will play a key role in bringing the museum's Challenge It Zone to life. The Challenge It Zone is designed to encourage visitors to explore a variety of engineering experiences, from designing and testing cars and boats to coding a giant LED cube. It will include open-ended makerspace activities, and Fab Lab's mills and 3D printers will be used for small product design and problem solving through the engineering. In addition, but wait, there's more. Fab Lab will be fabricating some of the small furnishings within that Challenge It exhibit. Today, my guest is Kathy Chen, Executive Director of Fab Lab El Paso. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you, Marina, for having me back on State of the Arts. I'm really excited to talk about this brand new partnership and initiative with the El Paso Children's Museum and Science Center.
It's super exciting. But before we go in there, because last time you and I talked, pandemic was starting and you guys were like chugging along, making PPE as you guys always, I mean, just always nimble and ready to like adjust to whatever life throws at you. But how has your journey been from when we last talked to now?
Yeah, it's been a really wild year. We definitely talked at the height of the pandemic supply chain shortage when a lot of makerspaces were scrambling to provide ad hoc manufacturing options for the local demands, which weren't being met by the global supply chain. So we definitely converted our operation to be a 3D print farm for PPE. During that time, we also pivoted a lot of our STEM program for educational purposes to remote and online. So it's been a whole year, and this school year especially, we normally, you know, in the spring semester have a ton of school workshops with SISD and YISD, and all of that has been taken online. And I'm very grateful that that transition has been actually quite smooth and that the teachers have been very cooperative and very helpful and patient in, you know, helping us launch these online and remote workshops. And of course, the STEM instructors at the Fab Lab has been working twice as hard to ensure that the experience is still interactive, engaging, and creative, even if they're separated by the computer screen from the students.
Well, I like that you said patient and helpful, because I feel like everybody has had to do that in some way, shape, or form. And now you have this cool opportunity. So in the midst of all this, the Children's Museum is like, hey, girl, you want to do this little zone thing? Or how did that come about?
You know, I'm very, very grateful that at the inception of this project, I think the scope and the perspective of how it's going to be introduced to the community has always come from a place of collaboration. Mm-hmm. And empowering and sort of upholding existing initiatives and programs that are already out in our community. And I especially appreciate that because, as you know, Fab Lab is very grassroots. We really, you know, rely and have relied and grown through the support of individuals in the community. And so I just love the fact that the Children's Museum, when we were approached by them and El Paso Community Foundation, that it came from a place of how can we help amplify and magnify your impact in the community and not, you know, how can we come and take over and sort of just bulldoze like local grassroots initiatives. So that from the get-go was just like getting off on the right foot and starting at the right place for these types of initiatives. And I know that they're also engaging with insights and with other local community partners. It's definitely going to be a very collaborative experience for a lot of these partners involved. And so for us, the idea actually came when I was approached by Paul Cortinar. He was the previous director of the Children's Museum. And since then, he's been handpicked for a science museum in Ontario, and he is a native Canadian, so he has gone back to his country. But he was such an amazing individual to work with, And we sort of brainstormed on what the best partnership would look like between Fab Lab and the Children's Museum. And I was very honest, and it's the way I am. I'm just super no frills in my way of communicating my thoughts. And I told him that, you know, I think makerspace has become a buzzword over the years. And a lot of institutions want to incorporate makerspace learning and makerspace resources within their organization. But, you know, we already have Fab Lab in El Paso. And I think that if we were to kind of have a separate makerspace at the Children's Museum, it could potentially just be duplicating efforts, wasting resources, and sort of reinventing the wheel for no reason, right? And Paul absolutely agreed with me. And so from there, we started really going down the path of thinking about how we could create or co-organize a makerspace at the Children's Museum that would continue the efforts of what we had been doing over the past 7 years at Fab Lab, but still meet the goals and the mission that the Children's Museum really wants to push forward in our community. So that's how it all started, was with a conversation with Paul Kornhardt.
And how's it going?
Oh, it's really gone very well. I think even, you know, with little hiccups along the way, like Paul leaving, and I know the Children's Museum is still searching for new candidates for the role of director of the Children's Museum. But I've always, just being the director of a small nonprofit, you know, sometimes you are a little bit cautious when people come to you and ask you for your ideas, just because, as you know, as a small organization and as creatives, we really do have to be careful about, you know, sharing some of our ideas and our work. And it's unfortunate that I have to say that, because it would be wonderful if we can all just really share, like, very openly and freely all of the things that we are working on. But oftentimes, you know, there's just a dearth of resources here on the border. So I know that it kind of breeds a culture of protectiveness around your programming and your strategies. And so I never felt that way throughout this entire process with El Paso Community Foundation and El Paso Children's Museum and Science Center and Gyroscope. And we all worked in tandem with each other. And that is very rare, because oftentimes, you know, you pick up on some vibes like, oh, you know, I don't know, they're asking for a lot of information and I'm not ready. And, you know, no MOU has been signed, and you just feel a little bit anxious. But from the get-go, Stephanie Otero from the Community Foundation was like, we're going to draft the MOU. We're going to lay out the terms of how we're going to collaborate. And I think that's just so cool. You know, that's like, it's like when an institution comes in and they're like, we're going to pay the artists. We're going to take graphic designers' work and we're going to credit them and pay them. You know, we're going to take creative ideas and we're going to give them credit where credit is due. And I think that that's the way business should be done in our community, and not just in our community, but in all communities. So it was definitely, from the beginning, it was a very sort of relaxed process for me and my team, in terms of just being open to really go wild with our innovative ideas and to share it without feeling like they were going to be pilfered.
Yeah, right. Because a lot of the times, and I think creatives get this question a lot, like, hey, can I pick your brain? And it's like, right, exactly. Are you asking for a free consultation? Because I think that's what you're asking for. Right. And like, we have jobs, you know?
Right. Yeah. That's always like just something that's not very often talked about in like the creative community, is we are in a small community and we want to be supportive. And El Paso Community Foundation was our first fiscal sponsor. Before we were even an official 501c3, we approached them and we were like, can you be our fiscal sponsor until we can get our own nonprofit status? And so they've really kind of been like our parent organization for a really long time. And there's a very sort of like protective, and I think that's what makes El Paso Community Foundation so great, is that there is that sense of like, they're there to protect the local nonprofits and not just to take advantage of them or benefit off of them, but they're really there to help foster these types of innovations in our community. But I do think that a lot of times when people do ask for like, can I pick your brain, depending on the situation.
Right. Right. You got to read it. You got to read your room. Yeah.
Right. Right. You do have to kind of just take a step back and just not say no, but just maybe ask them to clarify like how they're going to be using the information that you do provide to them, and to ask for credit. Don't be afraid to ask for credit where credit is due. And that's just good advice for, you know, anybody from directors to artists to, you know, self-employed individuals. I mean, we just have to start like pushing for this culture of transparency.
And it's been really cool with this project in particular. I mean, I've had the opportunity to interview several artists that the Children's Museum and Science Center is working with. And y'all are in there on several levels. I mean, there's that zone, but then to actually manufacture pieces of it. Have you started that process yet? Or where are you in that piece?
So we're really excited about that. And that's also a piece that I had pushed for in the initial sort of planning and strategizing meetings that I had, is that, again, too often on the border, we tend to have these huge projects and these huge initiatives, but we don't use local talent, right? It's very underutilized, like the local resources and talents that we have. So in addition, I know to working with local artists for some of the art installations mm-hmm. and murals and exhibits that are going to be at the Children's Museum, I also brought up the fact that I feel that the makerspace should really be a living museum for makerspace capabilities when it comes to digital fabrication and design, because it seems a little bit disingenuous to tell kids like, hey, you can make anything you want at a makerspace. And then they're like, who made this chair? And we're like, oh, Walmart made this chair. You know, it's just like, there's a disconnect.
They're like, wait a second.
Right. They're like, wait a second. Like this, these adults are telling me like things that don't make sense. So we really wanted to have the furnishing itself showcase makerspace technologies and capabilities, because after all, it's hard to explain what a makerspace is. Even after doing it for 7 years, I'm still like struggling to fully describe to someone what I do at a makerspace, because it's all and everything, right? I mean, it's you're bounded by your creativity and by your imagination, and you're bound by, of course, the technology and the technical skills, but it's hard to really describe it. But when you show somebody something that you're able to make at a makerspace, when you show somebody a 3D printed vase, or you show them a machined like chair or a table, then they're like, oh, you know, now I get it. Also, it's very empowering for the local community, because we're like, well, if I can do it, then you can do it as well, right? We don't need to think that this is only something for fancy engineers in New York or like in LA, that this technology is only for them. There's local makers and fabricators and designers and artists who are already utilizing this technology and creating beautiful works. So we need to kind of like showcase that, you know, and make it so that these furnishings are like a conversation piece. They're like a conversation starter for our patrons and for kids who come to attend our programs.
Well, I love it. You're going to see everything that makerspaces and makers are capable of. When you visit the Challenge It Zone, it's going to be at the El Paso Children's Museum and Science Center. Today, my guest has been Kathy Chen, Executive Director of FabLab El Paso. I'm sure this isn't our last conversation. Thank you for coming to State of the Arts, Kathy.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Marina. It's always such a pleasure talking to you.